Hi, and welcome back to the podcast. I'm Simi Lerner, and this is Judaism from Within, the podcast where we discuss the works and the thinking of Rav Shamshon Raphael Hirsch. So we're at a new stage, a new section, a new beginning. We're discussing the mitzvahs. Now, this is an interesting one, because when you say mitzvahs, you kind of assume you're referring to all the commandments in the Torah. But to just trace things back, for Rav Hirsch, the categories of the commandments in the Torah, six of them in total, illustrate the goal of Judaism, how the goal of Judaism is lived out in the world, how that unification between the world of our experience and the mission that we are in this world to do, the attunement between the world and our role in it. Six categories. We've been through the Torahs, those philosophical themes, the Eidos, the symbolic ideas that are supposed to be lived out in action, the Mishpatim, the expressions of justice, the Chukim, once again justice as well, but justice through a different frame, justice towards our environment, our soul, that which we don't have direct access to, but justice nonetheless. You have education and you have justice. The Toros, the Eidos, are expressions of education. The Mishpatim and the Chukim are expressions of justice. And now we have the mitzvahs. For Rav Hirsch, the mitzvahs are the embodiment, the acting out of the principles of love, the other key component within Judaism. But in a way, this is the key component. Because love, not as an emotion, love as expression in the world. Now, obviously, love as an emotion is part of it, but it doesn't exhaust the concept of love in the most meaningful sense of the word. Love isn't just an emotion, then it becomes slightly strange and narcissistic. Love is supposed to be embodied. Love is supposed to be acted. Love is supposed to move from the emotion to the world. That is what mitzvahs are for Rav Hirsch. And why are they so special in this category is because they are the ones that allow us to really pursue our emanating God. We're supposed to follow in God's ways, v'holachta bidrachav, or as they say in Latin, imitatio Dei, to go in God's way. That is most primarily expressed through the mitzvahs. These are the expressions of love that the Torah invites us to engage in. The chukim and the mishpatim, the expressions of justice, stop us descending to a base level, hold us back from becoming more base, becoming like the rest of nature. The mitzvahs allow us to strive to higher levels. So to lay out the groundwork of this opening to the mitzvahs, this is the category of commandments that Hashem asks us to engage in because it is the most reflective of what we mean by God. And that is so key for Rav Hirsch, because what we mean by God from Rav Hirsch's standpoint is love. God does or engages in the world is an expression of love. That giving to what is not needed, is not demanded, the unowed expressions of love, those unowed expressions of developing the other, the will, the desire for the development and the flourishing of the other, and acting in the world to be able to allow that to take place, the creation of the world, is what Rav Hirsch understands the Jewish people mean by God. It sounds like a little bit Christian at times, because we don't emphasize the love, but we really should, because it's a little bit tragic in a way that we don't express our conception of God as one of love. For Rav Hirsch didn't shy away from this. And I think there's something very, almost not embarrassing, but tragic in a way, that we don't use this language, because it sounds a little bit Christian, but it's what we mean by God. And what we mean by God is not just a deity in the sky. I was having a discussion with someone on a podcast that I co-host with Rav Yitzchak Adlerstein. It's called Two Rabbis, Three Opinions. And I was really laying into this idea that our enemies right now in, I live in Israel, and in Eretz Yisrael we have enemies, certain jihadist movements such as Hamas, Hezbollah, the Ayatollah. And there was some rabbi who was expressing that our enemies believe in God, and there's something embarrassing about their commitment to belief in God that some people within our own community don't share. And I found that absolutely repulsive, to talk upon these bloodthirsty criminals when they call upon their God while they engage in slaughter and atrocities, and to associate that with what I mean by God, I found it to be blasphemous in a way. No, they worship a very different God, a God of blood, and they call upon their death God every time they kill. I'm sorry, this isn't an indictment of Islam. Islam throughout the West is not the point of my discussion, it is its jihadist expression. And to compare that with what the Jewish people, the Abrahamic religions, mean by God, within Christianity or Islam, is an abomination. It's not the same God. God isn't this sort of cookie monster that needs people to pray to it, a divine dictator that needs people to pray to it and then he will favor them. That's idolatry. To compare the two is terrifying. I'd prefer atheism any day than this sort of strange blurring of the concepts of what we mean by God. When we say we are monotheists, we don't just mean one God. We mean ethical monotheism. What we mean by God is intimately linked to what we mean by the good. And hence Rav Hirsch's sticking point that when we say HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we mean that which is the most potent, the most sublime expression of love. When Moshe approaches God and asks Hashem to show him his ways, Rav Hirsch points out the character traits, Rachum v'chanun, slow to anger, forgiveness, these are what we mean by God in the most potent sense of the word. So to finish, or to really not finish if you will, but to lay out the three points that I want to mention, we're supposed to follow God. But the first point Rav Hirsch mentions is that there is no individual, no icon that can embody this principle. It's impossible. That's why the only one we are asked to follow in this context is God. Because God is that which we should strive towards, to be as loving, as connected as HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rav Hirsch then leans into self-development. He tells us that we are supposed to use the traits, use the skills that we have, use our abilities, our interests, develop them in service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world. And I find that to be such an important point that's often not mentioned. Yes, your ability to follow HaKadosh Baruch Hu in love, and as God is love, we are supposed to act in the world with love. And then we will go through the mitzvahs within the Torah and show how these mitzvahs express this principle. But if you are not a person, you cannot love. And this is why I find it so important. The Rav Hirsch emphasizes the importance of self-confidence and building your character to be able to be a subject that is capable of love. That idea is so reflective in our own experience. A person who is self-confident, a person who has a personality, who has a feeling of self-worth, they can truly love. They are not going to be codependent on the other. They're not going to be a drain on the other for a feeling of self-worth. They will be able to communicate. Now, if you take that as a metaphor for our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the same principle applies. To love, you need to be someone. And thereby, self-development is part of that training. So what have we said so far? We're not supposed to embody a story of Catholicism where we reject the language of love because they had an emphasis on it. No, we own this. Their source for the idea that God is love is Devarim, is Vayikra. That's where they get it from. So it's not something we should shy away from. And when we relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in love, we act in the world through love, we point it out that it's not an emotion purely. Obviously an emotion is part and parcel with that, but it doesn't exhaust the principle. Love is supposed to be acted. It is a posture towards reality that involves action, and that is where the mitzvahs take place. And that's what we will go through when we discuss the mitzvahs. How do these actions, I believe the first is Kibud Av V'Aim, study of Torah. How are these embodiments of love in the world? That is what we will discuss. And then, really lastly, Rav Hirsch points out that love without justice isn't what we're talking about. One cannot say, I will just do the love, but I will ignore the justice. I will ignore the mishpatim, and I will ignore the chukim, but I will only act with love. Rav Hirsch says that doesn't work either. And I just want to point out how in our own experience that doesn't work. If there is no structure and there is no boundaries, love becomes toxic. Love becomes self-indulgence. Love becomes an aspect of self-serving. It becomes suffocating. If there are no boundaries to a person's love, you give when you are not wanting, when your love is not wanted. In a relationship where there is no boundaries and structures to love, that is a toxic relationship. And same when it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks us, demands that we act in love, but that love must be structured, must be within a framework. And that is what we're going to develop. We're going to develop what we mean by love and what we mean by the structure that love takes place within. So, looking forward to this next stage of our journey. We've been through the Tyros, the philosophy that is embodied in the world, the Eidos, the symbolic actions that educate us towards these principles that Judaism holds to be central. We did the Mishpatim, the laws of justice between one man and his fellow, the Chukim, justice towards the world and our soul and the inanimate world and the animal world. And lastly, for now, we are dealing with the mitzvahs, these expressions of love that are embodied in the world. Looking forward to this journey, and as always, thank you for your time.